speaks to us today. We hear from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. There, again, there's outlines, places for you to take notes in the back on the back table if you'd like to. Oh, Don, hang on. If you can hear me, there's two more coming. There we go. Tony, can you just make sure? Yeah, okay, never mind. I see them through the windows. They're good. They got together. Good. Thank you. As we hear the word of the Lord this day, we're joining with Jesus in his journey back to his hometown, Nazareth. He's left Cana, where the water was turned into wine and news about him spread. His first miracle as the revealed Christ was made known. And all spoke well of him, right? Words spread through the countryside that Jesus was doing miraculous things, teaching about the word of God, and people were welcoming him. Kind of like welcome mats were spread out for Jesus to welcome them into their lives, into conversations, and into their homes, into their towns, including Nazareth. A welcome mat was rolled out there. You know what welcome mats? You got them at your homes, right? And sometimes they say funny things on them, but most of the time, welcome mats just simply have the message of welcome, right? Welcome to my home. Welcome to the place where I live. Welcome into the place that is where you can meet Jesus through me. And in fact, some of you have in your front foyers or entryways maybe a cross or a picture of Jesus or some kind of Christian symbol or icon that allows people to know when they come in your house, this is a place where you're going to know Jesus in us, in our relationships, and in the conversations that go on here. May he be glorified and praised as you come into this abode. Welcome. Pineapples are also, you know, signs of welcoming. I didn't discover that until we lived in South Carolina. Maybe that's more of a southern thing, but pineapples weren't part of welcoming in Iowa. Maybe they are now, but they weren't when I grew up. And all of these kinds of signs that show you're welcomed in this place. Well, we pick it up with Jesus in verse 17, where he's in the synagogue, as is his custom, and he stands up to read. Isaiah the prophet is handed to him, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord Almighty is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." And Jesus would go on to say in that word of Isaiah that he sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus, after he read this, he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And that's normal for synagogue life in Jesus' day. When someone was going to speak, preach, teach, they sat. They didn't stand like we do today as part of their culture. They sat. Sitting was a sign of authority and worthy then of somebody listening to. So Jesus sat down. And this is what he said. "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And that welcome mat of Nazareth begins to curl at the edges. This word that people are hearing in his own hometown, where Jesus would later say to them, "No prophet is welcomed in his own hometown." That welcome mat begins to curl at the edges a bit. What does Jesus mean when he talks about that the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing today? That's an interesting phrase that Jesus uses there. It comes from the word pleroo from the Greek, which means the fulfillment of. Jesus is sitting in this place of authority in the synagogue and says to them that the fulfillment of what I've just said to you is here in your presence. Are you ready to hear it? To welcome it? Is the welcome mat of faith and life laid before your door, the door of your heart, so to speak? And to welcome me then as the one who has brought the fulfillment of that for which I came. And for that which Jesus came was to fulfill the law in its entirety, in its completion, in its total obedience and adherence to. Jesus fulfills the law. He fulfills the words of the prophets that the Messiah was to come. Here he is. And these are the signs that you'll see in the Messiah. Here they are. that the words of the prophets that proclaim the kingdom of God made known in his one and only Son is sitting before them in this synagogue, fulfilling these words as the one who is the fulfillment of that redemptive plan of salvation. For the Messiah would be given, God's one and only Son would be given for the salvation of the world. And this is what they were hearing. The fulfillment of these scriptures is here before you. And how would they respond? How would they hear and take in this word of Jesus? Well, Jesus begins to express to them what he's seeing as God in the flesh, what's in their hearts. He tells them, right, that a prophet isn't welcomed in their own hometown, and I'll tell you why. And he goes on to use the two examples of Elijah and of Elisha, both Old Testament prophets who were sent to proclaim the word of the Lord to the people of God of Israel, and the people of Israel rejected Elijah and Elisha and the message of the Lord. So they went to Tyre and to Sidon and to Zarephath. And they went to Naaman the Syrian. And there the working of the Lord, the miracles of the Lord God's hand was made known. And Jesus, the Messiah, who says to them, this prophet is rejected in their own hometown, using Elijah and Elisha as examples for them. Well, it got a response from the people, didn't it? They were furious when they heard this. And in fact, what they wanted to do was they took Jesus out to the brow of the hill of which the city was built upon, and they were going to throw him off that cliff to get him out of their presence. They sought there to kill the Son of Man, but it wasn't yet his time. Well, this isn't really surprising to us, is it? John the Apostle would tell us in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 1, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him, and he even came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. They might have put the welcome mat out as one who's a part of their community, but they didn't put the welcome mat. In fact, their welcome mat wasn't even known as the one who is Jesus the Messiah in their lives. And what about you and me? What about the welcome mat of our witness to the world as ones who know the salvation of Jesus, who are called to be those lights of hope and of forgiveness and of patience with one another, of understanding and caring, even to those who we might call repugnant, who we have a disagreement with, somebody who has rankled our feathers. You know, there's an interesting phrase that goes on in our culture today. It's called siloing. And in the midst of our diversity of our culture and all of those different strata in which we operate in as people in our culture, siloing is the effect that you tend to come together with people who are like you. I tend to hang out, in other words, with Commanders fans, all right? I tend to hang out with people who have the same political leanings. I hang out with people of my faith truths. It's called siloing. And we find that more and more and more today in our culture, in our age. One, because it's comfortable, it's easy. But two, because we're struggling in so many ways to make sense of how do I deal with people in a way that's civil, much less Christ-like, where I have disagreements, who are very different than me, who are repugnant to me. How do I lay out the welcome mat of my heart and life to them when I don't really want to deal with their issues, their thoughts, their thinking, their attitudes? And yet, isn't that why Jesus lives in our hearts? Isn't that why he came to us? We who were repugnant to him in our sin? He laid out the welcome mat for us in his death and his resurrection. And now living in us calls us into this role. Light of salvation in Jesus Christ to the world. In other words, host to the hostile. You know where we get the word hospitality? That word hospitality comes from two Latin words. It's a mishmash together. One word is host, and the other is hostile. And you put those words together, which stand at direct polar opposites in many ways of each other, you get the word hospitality. This is what Jesus has shown to us. He, the host of grace and truth, welcomes those who are hostile to him, me and you, and all people in our sin and who are repugnant to him because of the curse of death upon us. This is what Jesus was saying to those people in the synagogue of Nazareth. He has anointed me, Jesus is saying, to do this, to proclaim to you good news. There's hope. There's life. There's forgiveness. There's a purpose now that's bigger than you, that's a part of the kingdom. And he sent me to do this, to proclaim freedom and recovery for you, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, his grace over you, that you might know and be a part of something that is foreign to us. That in our sin, in our sinfulness, blind and as dead and enemies of God, now to be welcomed into the kingdom. A welcome mat of grace and forgiveness laid out for us. For the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, that glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father with a welcome mat of grace and truth to claim you as a son and daughter of his. Is this not what we know? Is this not what we proclaim? Is this not what we enjoy every day? A life that's been defined for us by the saving work, the salvific work of Jesus and his cross and his empty tomb that defines us then in the light of our salvation. This is what we know and what is lived out in us then in hospitality. Hosts to the hostile. We're welcome mats to the world for the sake of people seeing and knowing Jesus in you and me, the light of their salvation too. What is kingdom hospitality? What is that for you and me? Here are some thoughts for us. One, it's the embrace of the truth that I know. I know that I have been called from darkness and into light. I have been called from being an enemy of God into a son or daughter of his, a friend, a child, an inheritor. This is what I know. And what I know is that Jesus has come for every single person that I encounter in life. Jesus died for them too, as he did for me. Maybe I need to rethink some of my attitudes, my siloing desires, so that when the people that come into my life each day, I might see them through the eyes of my Heavenly Father as one who has sacrificed his Son for them, as he's done for me. How might I be a welcome mat for them, for the kingdom? And where is kingdom hospitality found? Well, it's found in me through the welcome mat of my life. As I live and move and have my being, as I have an opportunity to see each day that a person in my life is in the same situation as me. And with a little care and tenderness and the love of Jesus, with a little bit of getting to know them and asking what's behind the issues that are going on in their life, they might know the love of Jesus too. That's found, as I know it, in him. And how then is kingdom hospitality expressed? But simply in the offering of a full welcome to any and every stranger as the Lord God brings to them. They are his divine appointments in my day. Divine appointments, this is an interesting phrase, isn't it? It's something that our greeters ministry, we use here as part of our greeters on Sunday morning, understanding that as God brings us together, Lord God brings us together, we have divine appointments with one another. And that person who's here, maybe you today, for the first time, as a guest or visitor with us, You're a divine appointment to be with the Lord God and with us today. We hope that divine appointment continues on, right? Every Sunday in our relationships with the Lord and with one another. But this is so with the people each day in my life too. Divine appointments to know Jesus in me. Maybe the welcome mat in your home is just a rug. Maybe the welcome mat at your front door has a cross on it, or the word welcome, whatever it is. What about the welcome mat of your heart and attitudes and who you are as a child that people see in the world? Aren't the welcome mats of our lives marked by the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb of his salvation and the light that is our Savior Jesus, who just simply, as he did to those people in Nazareth, just walked through and went on his way, but who has made himself known in our hearts and in our lives. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of knowing you, being claimed by you. Thank you for the privilege of being welcomed into your kingdom through the love of Jesus. And now to know that in my own, our own lives, to be the welcome mats of your kingdom, that they might know Jesus, salvation, and all the promises that you give through him. Use me, Lord. Use us for the praise of your glory as the light unto the world. And we'll give you thanks for our place, as we know, in Jesus our Savior. And in his holy name we pray. Amen. May the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in him as he uses us as those welcome mats of his kingdom to the world. Ah, thanks be to God. What a privilege that is. Come, and let's sing together. We want to walk.